Welcome back into the La Crosse Tribune UBL Football Podcast. Recording this on a Sunday, about an hour before the Packers and Viking game kicks off. UBL suffered its first non-conference loss under Mike Schmidt on Saturday. Not really a great day at all for the Eagles. 35-17 against Dickinson State, which is ranked number 20 in the NAIA coming in. Today's podcast, we're going to break down the loss, talk about some of the bad stuff, a couple of things that they have to build on. Heading into the bye week now at 2-1. They were ranked number 23 in the Division III poll coming in. I'm recording this before that poll gets updated to this afternoon, so I would imagine that they're probably not going to be ranked anymore, but we will have to see what happens there. But just looking at this game overall, the turning point was the third quarter. UWL goes into halftime down 14-10. Ben Stramski got a deep touchdown to Cole Speaker to get that first touchdown on the board. And then in the third quarter, they had a perfect start. Linebacker Garrett Graff with an interception on the first play. Huge momentum shift. Got the Eagles set up at Dickinson State's 30. They got a short drive going. Go for it on fourth down and get it. Then Ben Stramski throws up a jump ball in the end zone for Dominic Levalarte, one of their top receivers. Ends up getting intercepted. A really good play by their cornerback. And that was really kind of the turning point. After that, Dickinson scored 21 straight points in the third quarter, and UWL really just never got the momentum back, really couldn't get anything going offensively consistently enough to make a comeback in the game. The biggest problem for the offense on Saturday was the pressure that was on Ben Stramski. Even the great plays that he made, the touchdown like I mentioned before, and the play that before that to set it up where he hit Levalarte after scrambling around, he had to deal with a ton of pressure in his face, and Dickinson State was really attacking the guards of UWL. Even on a couple of third downs, they weren't rushing off the tackle. They just decided to load up three guys on both centers and or the center and both guards to just get all the pressure up in Stramski's face, and it worked. The UWL's offensive line struggled, and it's a young group, and we've talked about it many times on this podcast that they've been playing really well, and it's a surprise because they are so young. And when you play good teams at this level, being a freshman, being 18 years old versus a 21-year-old, 22-year-old, it doesn't sound like a lot. And when you're an older person, you start thinking about those days. But the physical development, the strength and everything like that, it's a big gap in those college years when you're talking about a freshman versus a senior like Dickinson State had against them up front. So that pressure was a really big problem. Ben Stramski in the first half got sacked and fumbled near the 30-yard line, and I was on a drive that was really rolling. I mean, they seemed at that point that they're going to be able to get a touchdown on the board, but then that sack and fumble recovered by the Blue Hawks really kind of zapped that drive and kind of set up the momentum for the rest of the game that even when UWL did something well, got the drive going, something would happen to kind of set them back. And the other big thing that Dickinson State did defensively was they committed their edge rushers and their outside linebackers to containing Ben Stramski in the run game. UWL's offense is really predicated on that zone read with the quarterback, that he always has the option, if the defensive end's crashing down and there's space out to the outside, to hold on to the ball and go gain yards. And the first two games, he's done that really, really well. And it set him up for second and third, or second and 3 yards, second and 4 yards, as opposed to, you know, second and eight. But today, or on Saturday, excuse me, La Crosse was facing second and long, third and long almost every time. And it's just when you're doing that consistently as an offense, you're putting a lot of pressure on your offensive line to hold up for longer in pass protection and then on your quarterbacks and receivers to make plays. And just did not happen for La Crosse on Saturday. They ended up with 79 rushing yards on 28 carries, which is basically half of what they had been averaging, or excuse me, less than half. They'd have been averaging over 180 yards a game on the ground. So when you take away the ground game, it just makes everything tougher in the passing game. So those are a couple of things from the offensive perspective that they've got to get cleaned up. I mean, this is a good test and a good showing for them in the sense that this is what conference games are going to be like. The physicality, the speed that Dickinson State had, that's going to be how WIC games are, especially when you start it with Whitewater, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But in 2 weeks, they've got Whitewater, who's going to be probably even more talented than Dickinson State. So they've got to fix some things on the offensive side to not only score more points, because 17 is not going to do it in this conference, but also to give their defense more rest. That was a big part of the problem, too, is that the defense was on the field for so much of the second half on a really, really hot day at La Crosse. It just kind of all snowballed in that second half, and they never really got a chance to get back into the game after those mistakes. And then on defense for UWL, they gambled a few times on blitzes on third downs, trying to make big plays, and I agreed with that to a point. They had to try to force a turnover or force a pressure to get a turnover for the offense because they needed that spark. But a couple of times they had third and, or Dickinson State would be in a third and four or third and five scenario, and UWL would show blitz and just not have their coverage guys in the slot on top of the receiver. So they'd be, you know, at the safety depth or a deep linebacker depth, and the slot receivers could kind of just take a couple of steps, turn around, and get the first down without really a challenge. So the blitz didn't really have time to get home. That was a couple of schematic mistakes it seemed like UWL made. And then other times when it seemed like they had a good blitz called, Dickinson State did a great job picking it up. On one touchdown, they had press man coverage across the board and showed they were going to blitz. Dickinson State's running back makes a great cut block on a blitzing linebacker. Their quarterback, Hayden Gibson, scrambles out, throws a perfect pass about 30 yards down the field on a deep crossing route. It's caught and became a touchdown just because he beat his man by a step. But when you play as much man coverage as UWL does, I mean, that's kind of what's going to happen. You're going to get beaten man coverage every once in a while, and especially when you're blitzing in man coverage, you're really depending on your corner to keep up with the guy, and if it doesn't happen, you're susceptible to those big plays. And Gibson, I mean, Mike Schmidt said it early in the week that this guy had a huge arm and the whole field was available to him, and that was completely true. I mean, this kid had one of the better arms that you're going to see against a lacrosse team this season, even in the WIC schedule. That guy had the ability to throw the ball deep, probably better than most of the rest of the conference's quarterbacks. And he wasn't afraid to chuck it, too. He probably missed six or seven huge plays, just a little bit of an overthrow to some open receivers. And eventually when they started getting hit or they started getting caught in the second half, that's when everything kind of rolled up on the cross and just kind of got away from them and resulted in the lopsided loss. But Mike Schmidt, the head coach, after the game, he said, "They kicked our butts. You know, that was a butt kicking." He was really straight and honest about it, and that's something that you're always going to expect from a guy like Mike Schmidt. He just, when they do well, he compliments them and praises them how he needs to, but when they play poorly like this, he's going to call them out and say, hey, that's not the effort that's acceptable here. So one of those games that, in the grand scheme of things, you kind of have to just flush away because it is non-conference and it is not necessarily as important, but a definite wake-up call and a game that all of the players kind of look at it as, if we know we have talent, but if we don't play well, we're going to get beat and beat badly. Mike Schmidt also called it the most embarrassing loss of this coaching staff's tenure. And it's rare when you hear a coach talk about being embarrassed, but that is kind of the vibe at the end of the game where you play as poorly as lacrosse did overall. And just it's hard to come away with a ton of positivity afterwards. But looking kind of at the big picture and some of the playoff implications, and I got a couple of comments from people talking about how we're looking at the playoffs too much, but when you're in this college football season where every game kind of you can point to as a resume builder or a detriment to your resume, you can kind of start figuring out if you have too many of these detriments, you just really don't have a chance at the end of the year to get into the tournament, and that's obviously the goal for lacrosse this season. But kind of looking around, we saw Platteville lose on the road at Thomas More, and that's a big deal because Platteville was a ranked team in conference, and when those teams have losses, it just makes those games later on in the season even more important, because really two or three losses at the end of the year, looking at 7-3, you're probably not going to make the playoffs at that record. And then also Illinois State, who lacrosse beat last week on a last-second field goal, they ended up beating number 12 Wheaton this week, and that's a huge boost for lacrosse because anytime a team that you beat has a good win, it just makes your win over them look even better. So if you're, again, I said this I think in the midweek podcast, but if you're rooting for lacrosse, you want Illinois Wesleyan to go on, have an undefeated record, and win that conference because it just makes that win over them in the non-conference season look even better. This game against Dickinson for lacrosse, it technically doesn't count against them in the scheme of Division III rankings later on in the season, and when they start considering the playoff things, they'll technically end up with 9 opponents that are supposed to be considered. It really just becomes a perception issue when you're looking at, oh, this team's only played 9 Division III opponents, and let's say they beat 7 or 8 of them, but they ended up being or having an extra loss. That's kind of where their perception issue comes from. And like I said, I'm recording this before the new D3 poll, so they're probably not going to be ranked anymore. That's not going to change until they beat someone like a Whitewater or an Oshkosh down the road, I would say. But I've got a column coming out in Monday's Tribune, and it's going to be online here Sunday afternoon. Talk to some of the veteran players kind of just about how they have to bounce back and how they took ownership of this loss and what they're going to have to do. And it's interesting to see when the older players on the team kind of know, like, hey, this week in practice wasn't good enough, or we didn't come out with the right attitude, or things like that. And you'll read that in this column. So definitely take a look at that, and you kind of know where this team sees itself. But in the big picture, you know, it's a tough loss to take because of the momentum they had coming off of Illinois State or Illinois Wesleyan. But now you just kind of look at it as, well, we flushed away the non-conference. We went 2-1 against a much improved schedule. That's, in the grand scheme, a win when you're playing as tough of teams as they did in the non-conference to come out 2-1. But now it's looking at the conference season. They're going to have to win, I would say at this point, probably 6 of these games. So that means beating 2 of the 3 between Oshkosh, Platteville, and Whitewater, which are all going to be very, very difficult games. So they're in a situation now where pretty much every week they're looking at their playoff lives. So it's going to be an exciting year. Obviously, they've still got a lot of talent and everything like that, but the problems that they thought they had, that they had kind of masked in the first couple of weeks, where you look at the secondary that's inexperienced and then the offensive line that's starting 3 freshmen, those are kind of exposed this week. So how they bounce back from that and how they get ready for Whitewater with a week off in between is going to be kind of one of those make-or-break moments of this season, I believe. So, you know, they know this week wasn't great, but like I said, 2 weeks to get ready for Whitewater, a win over them, that's a huge turnaround. Whitewater's probably going to end up being in the top 8 when the rankings come out this week. That'd be a huge bounce back and really one of those season-defining wins if it were to happen. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode. I'm going to be taking the week off from work, so I won't have as many stories as usual throughout the week, but got a Sunday feature coming up on Dr. Glenn Wright and the work he does with UW Lacrosse's football team. They measure everything that you can think of, you know, the impacts of head injuries and all the output they do. The kids wear these chest straps during practice to kind of measure their heart rates and other things, the heat index and all those type of things that you know that you want coaches to think about and to make sure that kids are staying healthy enough and practicing in a way that's conducive to that. But just the way that Dr. Wright approaches it is really cool. So I'm excited to share that with you at the end of the week. And sometime this week I'll have a podcast up. I'd really love to do a Q&A with you, the listeners. If you have a question or something you want to talk about or hear on this podcast, hit me up on Twitter at @CBartDizzle, or you can email sports@lacrossetribune.com. But just like, share, subscribe to the podcast, do everything you guys have been doing. Really appreciate all the comments I've been hearing from parents at the games and everything like that. So we will keep it up from our end, and we will hopefully have some more exciting games to talk about than this one down the road. But that's going to do it for this week, and we will talk to you on Wednesday or Thursday.